Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 518 of The Bold and the Brave, her podcast. Now, today I've got a very special guest. You're going to love her. Her name is Jenny McColl. Now, Jimmy, why is Jenny so cool here? Well, that's because she's an actress, dancer, competitive athlete. And get this, we're going to hear the whole story, all right? Oh, this is so amazing. She's in the 2024 Guinness World Book of Records. Why? Because she made history at the age of 71 as the oldest person to complete an obstacle in the Ninja Warrior television series. Oh my God, she was dangling. What can I say? Jenny, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, but I have to clarify, it's confusing. In the Guinness Book of Records, I am the oldest female competitive ninja athlete. And on American Ninja Warrior, I was the oldest person to complete an obstacle.
Oh, we're just splitting hairs here now.
Yes, yes,
all
I had to
really
be clear.
All we really want to know is like, what the hell? All right, so how old are you now, Jenny?
I'm 73.
You're 73 and proud of it. Okay.
Yes. Awesome, it's the best time of life.
Hey, man, listen. Okay. So this is just so cool. I had read an amazing piece about you, and several of my friends had sent me the same damn piece. And they said, you better get her on your podcast because, I mean, there's like a story here. And what I love about this is that it's very rich in life's transitions, which is really cool. So you had a really storied life as a dancer on Broadway way back in 1974. That was the Broadway show Pippin. And then you transitioned into the commercial world, and yes, you've done over 100 national and regional commercials. I'm sure we've seen you in the 70s and 80s. And then you took some time to raise your family, about 20 years or so.
Yes.
But what happened then? What happened after that 20-year thing? Something happened.
Well, I had to leave the acting world and the dancing world, and I didn't want to, but I had gotten divorced. So that was a big change in my life, of course, as you probably can imagine.
That's a transition. That qualifies.
That's a transition. Yes, it qualifies. And so I always dreamed of getting back to the acting business. So time goes by. I've been a single mom for quite a while. I got into the radio business. And then I went, someday I'm going to get back to acting. And I may be a granny when I do it, but I'm going to get back to acting. And time passed by. I got remarried. My kids are off to college and beyond. And when I retired to North Carolina, my husband, there's a whole acting community here in Wilmington, North Carolina, where it was considered the Hollywood of the East. So I had to reinvent myself. I had to become gray-haired and granny-ish. So I started auditioning and got right back into the acting field. I was about 63 when that happened.
So was this like local theater?
No, this is film work. There's lots of film work that is done in the area and continues to be done. The Southeast is very active. Atlanta has tons of films that are being done. And my four most recent films have all been in the Southeast in one sense or another. Actually, the one I went to New York to film, but there's a very active community here.
I think that that is so cool. So you got back into it and you were roughly what, how old at that time when you sort of hop back into acting?
Well, I retired at 62 and I hopped back at around 63. In fact, before I
moved. You didn't last long in retirement.
Well, that's true. That's true. I hadn't looked at it that way. It's more of a hobby and a love and a, you know, it's not like I have to earn a living at it. It's, I do it for an enjoyment. So it's really great to get back to it. But I went to, when we retired, I was prepared when I came down here. I where I was, I got pictures and resumes. I looked and researched and all sorts of things to hit the ground running when I got here. And at the same time, I was able to do lots of hobbies like you want to do when you retire, the kayaking and paddleboarding and biking and that sort of thing, taking classes and enjoying myself. And I started swimming as well to really learn how to swim all four strokes and started competing statewide and nationally as well, which is really inspiring because I have to tell you, people in their 80s and 90s are doing incredible things. And to watch them at the National Games, which has all sorts of sports in it, I would see in my swimming division these 80 and 90-year-olds diving off the block, going 200 yards, doing flip turns. And I was so inspired by them. And this is the kind of thing that I want more people to see and do, because it is possible that you can be very active later in life. And it's a benefit too, because the health benefits are just amazing.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to make sure our wonderful Her podcast audience knows is what you're referring to are the National Senior Games. Some people call them the Senior Olympics. I'm very tied in with this group in a big way. I'm on the board of the American College of Sports Medicine, and I've actually united ACSM with the Senior Games because it's like kind of a no-brainer, because the American College of Sports Medicine can provide lots of guidance. We're the ones who do all the research for physical activity, and we take care of the Olympics themselves, the big boy Olympics and whatever. So it gives me personal pleasure to see people who are 50 and over. So you got to be 50 years old. If you're 49, you do not qualify. You got to wait till you're 50. And when we say 50, there's no limit to it. So it's 50 plus. And to your point, the first time I ever saw the Senior Games was years ago at Carnegie Mellon when I was covering the Discovery Channel as their chief medical correspondent. And they said, go over there and check out track and field with these senior people. And I went, oh, okay. And the minute I went down to the field, I heard this microphone guy, you know, he was calling out, he was going, would the 90-year-olds please line up for the 50-meter? And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what? 90, 50-meter? And I quickly ran over there, and there they were, kicking ass, and male and female. And I just could not believe my eyes. So to your point, Jenny, when you see people who are, you know, in their 80s and 90s just kicking ass, you ask yourself, well, wait a minute, get a little FOMO, you know, you just sort of say, you know, what am I missing out on here? You know, there's, I could envision myself as doing whatever and challenging yourself. Now, you were fortunate because you were a dancer and a competitive athlete. Basically, you were very athletic for years. And so you have a really good base on you.
Well, I will say this. I consider dance a discipline of movement. So once you have that ingrained in you, this is why I love all the kids doing all the sports and everything, it becomes habit forming. Dance is very different from the ninja world, I'll tell you that, although you do want to stay fit. And that was my goal at age 16, is I made a vow to myself that I would always keep exercising. Now, my parents didn't exercise at all. So I didn't have that.
Where'd you get that from?
I have no idea.
It just sort of randomly showed up.
Well, I was very, very shy as a kid, and they put me in dance class, and it was modern dance, which is interpretive dance. And by movement, I was actually communicating. And so that kind of got me out of my shell. And that's when I just continued to do dance from third grade all the way until I moved to New York to become a professional.
Which is another lesson for everyone out here in the Her podcast land. Would you stop looking at physical movement, whether it's dance or sports or whatever you're into, as something where you're counting calories and you're just doing a grind and you think that it's just like I have to, not that I'm getting this ridiculous opportunity to do, but I have to. No, what you're going to find in life is that whatever that physical movement is that you really love, it's going to give you joy, challenge, a sense of achievement, and it forms a discipline. To your point, it becomes a daily practice, one way or the other. It becomes woven into the very fabric of your life. If you could just experiment and find out what really turned you on right now, and I got an FYI for everyone out there, honey, it changes over time. what was groovy about 20 years ago that was working for you for a whole host of reasons, especially as you age and you have some limitations, you got to change it up. So you're a beautiful example of that. Now, tell us about your wild and crazy daughter and how she got you into this whole ninja thing.
Well, as I was talking earlier and saying about in retirement, I got right back to acting and then swimming in a big time. But I was also cheering on the sidelines for my daughter. Her name is Jessie Graff, and she's gone farther than any other female in the show by being the first woman to clear stage one in American Ninja Warrior. And from there, she cleared stage two as well. So she has quite a history. She's been on 12 seasons. She's gone to Japan to do the show that they have there where American Ninja Warrior came from, actually. So she's just, I saw her up there and she was a total picture. She looked great. She flew through the course. She had such grace. She was fit and she had muscles. And I've always been intrigued with muscles when she was in gymnastics as a child.
Yay, muscles. Go muscles.
Yes. And I just thought, I grew up in an era where you don't want to get too bulky because it's not feminine. The women didn't have many sports. We only had three in my high school. I didn't do any of those. And it was just a different era. And so I didn't have those things to be a base other than the dance. And so I saw her and I saw the muscles and I went, oh, I want to get stronger. So to your point about saying how all these diets and things like that, if you could just focus on getting stronger, all the other things come into play. You know, you want to eat the right things. You want to change your diet in a healthy manner. So the whole experience of getting stronger was so important to me. And I asked her, Jessie, what should I do? I want to get stronger. And she mentioned several different things. I can't remember now. I just remember pull-ups was the biggest thing. Of course, having no upper body strength, I got my little bar and I put it in the door frame and I was working. I had handles that came down from it. And I was working my way up and I was like, so proud of myself that I was finally getting. I did this just on my own at home, working here and there. And I took a video and I sent it to her. And she said, Mom, I'm so excited that you're trying this, but that's not a pull-up. And I went, what? She says, yeah, you have to get your chin all the way over the bar. And then you have to completely straighten out. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to a personal trainer. Because I had never lifted weights, had never been in sports. And so I thought I needed to have someone, which I reiterate to people every day, so that you do it properly and you have the proper form, that it's best to have the guidance of somebody to show you how to do that and when to change weights from, you know, a 2-pounder to a 5-pounder and on up. So that's what I did. And that was my goal. I said, I want to do, and I'm very goal oriented. Every day I have my goals.
I couldn't tell really, you know, it's very subtle with you.
So I told him I wanted to do 5 pull-ups, which I thought was attainable. And I believe in attainable goals. I don't go crazy, just 5 pull-ups. But it took me an entire year to get 1 pull-up because you have to work the arms, the shoulders, the back, the chest, the legs, the whole body. So I just kept on. I was determined. I saw other people and women doing pull-ups, and I went, if they can do it, I can do it. I'm just going to keep at it and just get stronger and feel the process rather than the end result. And as I went on with this, I had better tone and definition, and I felt stronger and more confident. And all these things started coming together. People would say, you look more toned. And that kept me going too. We need those little accomplishments.
Okay, we're going to take a moment. Notice that what got her going out there in the Her Podcast land was that someone said, oh, you're toned. They didn't say, ooh, you're so skinny. We love skinny. No. Skinny is like, no. That's a hard no. No. It all starts with strong. And then everything else spills forward. So there you were, strong. And now you did your first pull-up at the age of 63. Did you go to did you go out and eat all night to celebrate, or what did you do?
No, I didn't celebrate at all. It's just an inner feeling of accomplishment.
Of triumph.
And of course, then, I had to get my five, so you have to keep going at it. And I just liked the process. I just felt that I was getting healthier. And I will tell you one big thing. After, in my 40s, I was diagnosed with osteopenia. And for many people who don't know what that is, it's the step before osteoporosis. Now, I didn't know what that word meant. And honestly, I have asked many, many girls in their 20s and 30s, and they've never heard of the word osteopenia, which I think is a tragedy, because we need to know that there is this inevitable bone loss in most cases, not everybody. There's a bone loss, and particularly after menopause. So I'm osteopenia. What is that? What do I do? Sounds horrible. And she said, take calcium. And I said, well, can I reverse it? And she goes, no, you can't, but you can maintain it, which is not true. After 2 years of weightlifting in my personal training days, I was able to reverse osteopenia back to normal. And this is one of the major things that I wanted to get out there, and which is why I use Instagram and Facebook, is to tell people and let women know that you need to lift weights. This is important. It was such a disservice not to tell women or to prime them at an early age to lift weights or do body resistance. So
you're
absolutely
correct, Ginny.
Yes.
So you'll be thrilled to know I'm writing my next book. And in that book, you're going to be up to your ovaries, if you still have them, with bone health. Because I feel the same way. I'm actually a huge proponent, needless to say, of weightlifting and physical activity. Obviously, in addition to excellent nutrition, calcium, vitamin D, for bone health management at any age. And the grand majority of women out there have absolutely no clue, right, as to when bone mass, bone mineral density mass peaks. We actually peak out around the age of 30-ish. When that happens, then you can decrease the amount of bone you begin to lose, which is age-related, after the age of 30, by lifting weights, by being physically active, by having an excellent nutrition program and all the rest of it. So many women, and I bet you found this too, Ginny, think that you should start worrying about bone when you're like 65 or something. When suddenly Medicare pays for a DEXA scan of your bone is pretty crazy. I'm so happy. And that was another reason why I found your story so compelling, because what you were able to do was show that by doing strength training, you were able to make a positive impact on your bone. That must have made you feel pretty good.
Oh, I just wanted to shout it to the world. And it's kind of interesting. There's what they say is that the skeletal system constantly regenerates, and every 10 years, every bone in your body regenerates every 10 years. So you're getting a completely new bone system, but to grow it back, it slows down as you age. There's the problem, because we need to keep the impact and the strength in the bones. So maybe, just maybe, you won't get osteopenia or osteoporosis.
I think that the actual answer to that medically is that by the age of menopause, so that's roughly about 52 years old, plus or minus, there's always variability. Estrogen is an extraordinarily powerful bone builder. So when estrogen decreases significantly at menopause, obviously to very, very little, most women will see osteopenia. And if you're on some form of menopausal hormonal therapy, which includes estrogen, it will mitigate that somewhat. But as you age, it's very common to have some level of decrease in bone mineral density. It's very normal. It's just that you want to keep it to a small change versus a rapid decline right into osteoporosis. So women already know when they get their DEXA bone scans that it's all about these T scores, which are not perfect, but you know, it's what we got right now. There's going to be new technology over the course of the next couple of years you'll hear about, but you just don't want your T score to start plunging down into the osteoporosis range. So you've done a stellar job of reversing that. So that was another marvelous benefit doing your strength training, which is fantastic.
Which I hope those people in their 20s and 30s are listening so that they can possibly mitigate, as you say, any kind of downward trend in the bone mass, and they could start now. You need to start now, no matter what age you are.
When I wrote Body for Life for Women, that was the first time a woman physician had published a book for consumers where I ranted and raved about women getting strong. It's like, okay, we have all these books on running and whatever, and this is all great, God bless, but we need to be strong and we need to be lifting weights, whether it's just our body weight.
Right.
Whether we're in a gym, I don't really care. What we have to do is get strong, and we have all kinds of options to do that, which is why I'm with you, sister, you know, on this one. Now, when we return, you're going to tell us all about how the Ninja Warrior thing happened for you, Jenny McColl. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. Okay, Jenny, just spill the beans. How'd you get into Ninja Warrior?
Well, actually, you know, there I was watching her and I wanted to get stronger. And I was always very curious about the first obstacle on the show. It was jumping back and forth between five stairs that were on an incline and it was over water and they were very far apart. But sometimes by the film work, you can't tell. And the athletes just dashed through these steps all the time. And I went, you know, I think I could maybe do that someday. I'd love to try. Maybe not on the show, but just try. And then in season 8, American Ninja Warrior asked that we do, Jesse and I, do a working out together as mother-daughter. Just a nice produced spot, which it turned out to be beautifully done. And they kind of like said, you should submit for this. To get on the show, you have to submit a 3-minute video and you have to have personality and skills. So I went, well, that's crazy. I can only do one pull-up. I can't do a lot of things on the obstacle course, but okay, I'll work on it and I'll send in a video. And I got the call. And then I went, oh my gosh, Jesse, what do I do now? And she said, well, you know,
live in a gym. just move into a gym and sleep there all night and hope to God
something
happens. Skills will increase.
Yeah, I went, what have I done? So she said there are a lot of regional and statewide ninja gyms where they have competitions. So you should get yourself to a competition now. So I did that. There was one in Atlanta and I went to it and I felt way out of place, obviously. Me with my gray hair and I'm walking around and I'm looking at the obstacles, things I'd never done before. And I'm like, oh, how am I ever going to get that jump to that and catch it? And so, it turned out pretty good. My friend who was there with me said, just keep your eyes focused on where you want to catch and your hands will follow. And that's what I did. And I got through the first obstacle and I got all the way to the fifth or sixth obstacle. I can't remember. So it was pretty good. I felt pretty good about myself. But I tell you, when I got to the stage and, you know, they shoot overnight and it's outdoors and it was cold. I think we were in, Daytona, Florida. It was cold that night, kind of dewy.
Go figure, right? It's Florida and it's cold.
Well, like, they don't start until 9 o'clock at night. So,
oh god!
Once the sun is down and they can use, you know, their lights, which you can manage your own lights. You can't manage the daylight. So, you know, I was sitting there in front of these steps going, oh my gosh, that looks so far apart. How do these people do it? And they go, 3, 2, 1. And I had to go. And I hit to the first step and then I jumped to the second one and my foot slipped right down and I was right in the water and I'm bubbling underneath the water. And I'm like, this couldn't have happened. How did this happen? What on earth did I do? How did this, you know, I was just devastated. And I came out and I was like, I don't understand how this even happened. It really pulled me down quite a bit. Watching the show, they didn't show me on that season, but watching the show and seeing them do these things, I'm like, why can't I do this? My husband said to me, well, you'll do it again. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Why would I do that again? And he was going, because you can do it. And my daughter said, don't let one fall define you.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, look how far you've come. Now, you can sit back and have a nice life, or you can get back up and work harder. And basically, that's once I came out of my mopey mess, I started doing that again. And I think that there are a lot of clues in there about rejection, because we get it all the time. I get it in acting. I got it in dancing. I got it on Broadway. There's just so much that we deal with every day, but you have to have your eye ahead and looking, as I said before, at the process, not necessarily the end result, but to enjoy each step along the way and use the rejection as a motivator.
You did go back to the show and you made history by hitting that first obstacle, right?
I just got through the first obstacle. But you know what? They changed the obstacle. I thought I had that first step, those steps down like this. They changed it for the first time to a pole vault, and you jump on a mini tramp, you grab the pole, and the pole gradually goes down, and you have to climb so that you can reach the platform. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know anything about mini tramps, but I got through it. It was exciting. Yeah, it was very exciting, and I didn't know it at the time, but I became the oldest person to complete
an
obstacle.
And that was on television.
It was. That's season 15. Yeah.
And they showed that whole thing. You must have felt just like ridiculously achieved at that moment.
I did. And the fun part about it is that Jessie was by my side cheering me on. She was giving me clues, you know, just, I said, don't tell me too much stuff. And we figured out grab, tight, climb. You know, we had these just cues to get through that. But it was also the second obstacle that was really interesting. It was two nunchucks connected, and you had to go down something, and it was called Grease Lightning for a reason. It was very fast, and it had drops in it. And I was able to get through the two drops, and then I didn't go to the dismount to the platform right away, which you have to do to get the momentum. So then I pulled myself back and I tried again and I pulled myself back and I was literally on those nunchucks for over a minute, maybe a minute and a half. And of course, I'm losing momentum each time. I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm lost. You know, I can't do it. So I thought, well, why not? I'm going to do one more pull up. And then I dropped down. And that was the neat thing because it showed the never give up kind of attitude. So until you have
to. There are so many lessons in all of this. I just love it. You know, it's that issue of perseverance. I always chant to myself, the obstacle is the way, right? And yeah. So when you see it, it's not like some horrible, you know, whatever. It's like, this is going to be the way to the next thing. And the, and in life, that's exactly what happens.
I always say that in life, that it's like hurdles, that you jump over one hurdle and then there's another one up there. You have to keep jumping and jumping. But I have another story that I think is kind of interesting. I do rope climbs and I have a fear of heights. So that was always a problem to do the rope climb. So the first time I was doing it, I wanted to get to 40 feet and you have a harness, but I didn't know that I could. And I didn't know when I was at 40 feet. So here I go and I'm climbing up. Maybe I get to like 37 and I hear Jesse go, do one more. And I went, okay, I must not have hit 40. I took two more climbs up the rope and she goes, do one more. And I'm like, why have I not reached this yet? And here I do one more pull and pull. I said, that's it. Can't do any more. And I came down afterwards. I said, Jesse, why did you keep telling me to do one more? And she said, because that's where you get the strongest. And I've always remembered that when I think I can't go on any longer, I go, just do one more.
That's absolutely correct. And that's also what you do when you strength train. You do it to exhaustion. And so you're doing your reps and back and forth. It's not your first two reps of maybe a set of 12. It's those last three where you're like,
always,
you're calling for your mother, help me, you know, and that's when you really grow. And in right. your case, it's such a beautiful story, you know, with this rope climbing, the whole thing about first, you have to have a belief in yourself. I can yes. do this. Okay. So if yes. you're not supporting me out of my way, because I'm getting this little mother done, number one. Number two, you did the hard work to have the strength, the physical strength to do what you needed to do. You also, you know, are eating well and, you know, all that stuff. So you're doing everything you can to support achieving this goal. And then that very end, this is where your brain goes to squash. You're like, am I not there yet? Like, what? And where the hell is 40? And you suddenly, you're just like, oh my God. And it's all, it's like the end of a marathon. And I've done so many of these. It's one foot in front of the other at the very end. It's like, you don't even know which way is up. Your teeth hurt. You know, you just want to get this sucker done. You know, where is 26.2 here? You're killing me. So this is so cool. Now, flashing forward, what a marvelous achievement. Now, today, are you still doing some of these warrior, kind of more local, as it were, warrior competitions and things like that to keep things up? Or what are you now transitioning to? I know you said that you're swimming now as well, I imagine, in meets. So tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I do a lot of ninja competitions. Last year, we almost had one every weekend, and I did them all. And I think it was overkill. I think I was wearing down the bones too much in that respect. Because I want to, important part is the muscle. The muscle is what's going to keep you independent for as long as possible. And I was trying to get as much buffer or like armor around the joints to help me achieve this kind of thing. But I think just the wear and tear, and I am 73, so I think that sometimes that is going against me, hence trying to get the armor. So I slowed down this year and I didn't do as many because it is, and swimming, it's again, that constant motion of the shoulders, it puts a lot. What I'm trying to say is that you need to know when to rest. You have to know.
There's your point. So
yeah.
There's a whole science to recovery.
Yes.
And, you know, what we've discovered when, you know, and this is work done by the American College of Sports Medicine's scientists who publish this data, what we found is that as you age, you need more recovery time.
Very true.
And then depending upon the sport, I remember when I started triathlon and my coach at the time, I think I was 50 something, who the hell knows, but I was like, I think in my like early 50s, mid 50s, you know, she looked at me, she said, you're not 20 anymore. And I said, well, what's your point? And she said, well, the point is this: one, to take on three sports, which is the triathlon, you're going to need recovery. And that means you could sleep up to 9 hours. That means that you're not going to be training every single day like a nutcase. You need recovery. So if she said that when I was in my 50s, one can only imagine what's going on 60s, 70s, and beyond. You have to be very, very respectful of that. So I'm really happy to hear that you cut back and you allowed your body to heal, because the healing process is also affected by the aging process. So you're kind of butting up against aging as well. Have you followed your bone mineral density over time?
Oh, yes. I definitely look at it. Every 2 years is when they ask you to have it done, but I'm always looking at it. And it's always, you know, fluctuating. And it's like, I have to keep working at it. And that's the same thing with your muscles. That's the same thing with your balance and everything in your body, is that you have to keep, I don't want to just maintain it. I want to make it stronger. The muscles, the bones, the balance, the vestibular system also goes after like 40, where it's difficult. And that's what happens to people, is they lose their balance. They don't have the mobility in their ankle and down they go, break a hip. And it's hard after that if you have the soft bones, all those things work together. So I work a lot on mobility is really important, and balance. I do a lot of balance work, but the mobility, I think, just to keep everything even Steven. So it's not like if you're a tennis player, you're always going one side, or a baseball player, you need to keep your body in good alignment.
Okay.
And that's now, why. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Give us a day in the life of Ginny. So I want to know what you eat, and I want to just give me a general idea of your physical activity. So start, what time do you wake up in the morning?
When I'm swimming, I have to wake up at just a bit before 6 a.m. So this morning I swam. We swim for an hour with a coach. So I do that 2 times a week. I do personal training 3 to 4 times a week. And I do the swimming. Oh, I do obstacle training at a friend's house. It's an outdoor course. So it's not like you can't do huge moves, but we do a lot of balance there. But he has some great upper body obstacles as well. So that's what I do right now. I need to add yoga back into my life, because what I've been doing is tightening my muscles all this time, and I'm not lengthening them, stretching them out as much as I should be doing, because you get stiff. I don't know about you, but I'm sure many of your listeners get up in the morning and you go, oh,
well,
I can't
actually
move my arm.
As you get older, the joints dry up.
Yeah.
In a big way. They really do. So because of that, your ability to maintain flexibility decreases. So yay to yoga, yay to Pilates. I found that Pilates is great for elongating the body, the spine, and obviously your muscles and everything else. So I like doing a combination. The Pilates, I do mat work. And the yoga, I just cherry pick. I go, well, I'm going to have a little this, a little bit of that, because there are some really great yoga poses that really hit home to the parts of your body that you're beginning to feel more inflexible with. Here's another thing. The stronger you become, meaning that you're gathering more muscle mass, et cetera, the stiffer you are. And so it's really important, and I tell everyone this, that when you begin a weight training program per se, that you want to incorporate flexibility at the same time.
Yes.
Because some of the most inflexible people on the planet are very strong and very muscular people. And they suffer for that, because that makes you less flexible and you could fall much more easily. Your balance isn't optimal, et cetera. So yay to yoga for you. And I would obviously, you know, recommend maybe throwing in a little bit of mat work with the Pilates, unless someone's sitting around there with a nice reformer, you know, yeah. To kind of get you going here one way or the other. Where do you swim now? What kind of swimming do you do?
It's at a community college, and
but
we have a coach.
But are you doing
there.
Competing with the Senior Olympics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in the games in July, or?
Not this July, because I'm going to take the summer off to try to recover from all the different things. It's also in Des Moines, which is a little bit harder for me to get to, as well as my family is coming to visit. My son and his three kids are coming to visit.
Take the damn summer off. You know, come on, relax.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I love going to him. I went to Pittsburgh was the last one. I went to, where was it in Florida?
Oh, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. And my first one was Albuquerque. That's where my one I talk about all the time. She's Julia Hurricane Hawkins.
Oh,
who started running
incredible.
At 100. Yes.
She started to actually become more physically active at the age of 90. So for all of you people out there who's go, oh my God, it's so late in life and you know it's too late for me. I'm like, no, I don't think so. Here we have little Hurricane Hawkins who, God bless her, passed away within, I think it was a year ago. She was absolutely incredible. And she just did the sprint. It was adorable. It was like 50 meter and then 100 meter. And she just never let up. I think she passed away at the age of like 103, 104.
Oh, no, I think she went on later than that.
Maybe she did 105.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
So, you know, here we are just talking about this. Here you are, just a young 73. A very young 73. You're just out there just kicking it up there. I know that a lot of women are wondering also, let's go back to you again, your nutrition. How do you eat? You wake up in the morning, what do you do?
I am on a Mediterranean diet. And there's a reason I'm on that. But I'm also on the East Coast and I get a lot of fish, fresh fish. So I have a lot of fish. I cut out dairy and there's tons of things that you can have instead of dairy. And instead of butter, I'll use avocado. I spread it on toast and have a sandwich that way. But basically, it's a Mediterranean diet. And when I first started doing, I knew I needed a lot more protein. That's a big thing these days, trending is the protein. And I couldn't get it with three meals. And so I started getting those bars that you have everywhere, 15, 20 grams of protein. And then I started looking at it, all the sugar in it. And I went, why would I be exchanging something for something worse? So it became difficult to find the right things to get the right amount of protein for me. I try to go for the same as my weight, the grams to my weight. So I'm like 116, 118, somewhere in there. That's what I go for my grams of protein because I work out that much. Not everybody would need that much protein. But so it became a little difficult because I really am trying not to have the sugar. And if you look at things, everything has sugar. If it tastes sweet, it has sugar in it. But they're bad sugars. And there's natural sugars. And so that's what I look for. The stevia is more natural, the monk fruit, I mean, just cane sugar. Those are the things I look for. But you'd be surprised at how many things have, you know, all these other things that are by a different name. And some of them not so good for you. So that was a big change. And the reason I went to the Mediterranean diet was because I was told I had a 50 to 70% occlusion in my carotid. And my mom had 11 stents put in. My brother has 5. So I've always been sensitive to this. But when I heard 50 to 70, all I heard was 70. I went, whoa. So I went to a vascular surgeon and he said, well, they didn't read it right. We don't do anything until it's 80%. And I went, there's nothing to do. It's just kind of get more and more plaque there? What do you mean? He said, no, it's fine. It's, you know, I wouldn't worry about it at this point. I'll see you in 5 years. And I'm like, wow, I don't like this feeling of this. So I read a book and this is what it says. I stopped red meat. I mean, I went drastic and there was nothing in the house to eat. And I'm telling you, this was not an easy transition because I love my ice cream, but I had to do it. And I went, if I was able to reverse osteopenia, then perhaps I can do something with my diet. So that's what I did. It was pretty drastic. And I went back to him in 2 years, had another scan, and it was 40%. And I asked what were the reasons behind that. And was it the report that was initially read? Was it where they put the ultrasound, you know, where they placed it, how they placed it, was it diet? And so I imagine it's all three, but I'll never know exactly until I have another time with the doctor there and see what's going on.
Well, I've got news for you, sweetie.
Okay,
and that
good.
Is, honey, if it went from 70 to 40, I'm putting my money on lifestyle habits. And you clearly have a family history.
Yes,
in your
of heart
genes.
Disease.
So what you did, well, remember, genetics may load the gun, but environment and lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Oh, and boy, so, nice saying.
Yep. So you did just exactly the right thing. You know, Jenny, you're such an inspiration. How can people learn more about your work? Is there a website? What you got?
I put everything, my whole pull-up journey, on Instagram. And that was when I had that first fall at American Ninja Warrior and I ended up in the water. I was using that to help me understand that I had been having a good process, not that the fall would take over.
No, understood. So
it's in pictures.
What's your Instagram handle?
It's just my name, Jenny McCall, which is GinnyMacColl. And I'm sure you'll have them in your...
Oh, we'll have it all over the place. So I just want everyone to run on over to Jenny's Instagram, learn so much more about her. I mean, this entire episode was just chock full of how extraordinarily inspirational you are with stories, wisdom, lessons in life, all the rest of it. There's so many parallels here. That's why I think your story was just so rich. Jenny, I want to thank you for being
on
the Her podcast. And you know, I'm going to have to circle back with you. And you will become what we love to call it here at the Her podcast, a repeat offender. You will be back again and again as our guest, because I think that your story just continues to get richer and richer. And we love to be able to share these life lessons. So, Jenny McCall.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you for
having me.
Podcast.
And thank you to your audience for listening.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Now I think, speaking of thanks, I want to say thanks to my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Scope it all out at Solaray, SOLARAY.com. Now take a moment right now, leave us a review because we love to hear from you. Ah, what a great episode. This has been a production of Podcast Health. I got a reminder for you, and that's that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. Now listen up. Jenny McCall is literally your poster child for that little reminder. So everyone out there, get on out, seize the day, carpe diem, and thanks for being here with us.